You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Henshaw and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show. I am Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'm your guest today. That's right. You heard it right. I'm your guest today because our guest host, Dwayne Brayboy, our beloved Dwayne Brayboy, will be interviewing me as a very, very wonderful honor about our new book, my new book, Mother of Nations, Poems by Dawn Karima from Uttered Chaos Press. And you can find that book at Amazon.com or at UtteredChaos.org, UtteredChaos.org. And we're celebrating my new book, Mother of Nations, with this dynamic guest host, Dwayne Brayboy. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Yes, I'm Dwayne Brayboy, Tuscarora from Robeson County, North Carolina. I'm Bear Clan, and I'm enrolled at Prospect Longhouse there. And my Tuscarora name is Runikwache.
Oh, we love you so much. Thank you for being here with us today.
Oh, it's an honor to be here today. It really is. You've interviewed me so many times on your show. Being able to interview you for once is a real treat.
Well, thank you. And I am handing the microphone to you. The show is yours.
Okay. Well, my first thought about your book, and I've read your book, of course, is what inspired you to write Mother of Nations?
Wow. My heart's desire since the day I was born and can remember has always been to be a mother of sons. Motherhood is my vocation. And I went through a season in my life where it seemed impossible. Doctors didn't give much hope, and things weren't coming together and working out. And so I wrote Mother of Nations as a prayer, as really an offering to put my culture and traditions and ancestors and family and desire for descendants all in the hands of our faithful Creator. And it worked because I am a mother, and it is the greatest and most happy time of my entire life.
That's wonderful. Yes, and I do love that your book is bilingual, and certain areas of the book, Mother of Nations, that, you know, there's titles, you know, at least, and Muscogee, mm-hmm. and then in English, of course. So, I think that is something that Native America needs to see now. You know, we I think need to see our languages being used and publications and in songs and such. You know, it's so important, and I feel. And I think that that is a wonderful answer that you gave to what inspired you to write Mother of Nations. So let's see. What is the medicine you hope to deliver to your readership with the book? For myself, it's hope. There's always a sense of hope in your words to me. And I never feel alone when I read your books. I feel that's something the world needs nowadays. But what is the medicine that you hope to deliver to your readership?
That is beyond beautiful. I am so thankful that you're blessed by what I'm trying to do. And I appreciate your support of it so much. I think the medicine that I really want to deliver is love. And what I hope to do is connect people to our Creator. I hope that they find something in these poems that reminds them that every person is given something to do to show the world how much God loves them. Every person is given a gift that simply is God saying, I love you, to that person. And I hope that as they read these poems, they hear the Creator's love for them. And they do have hope because of that. That their hope is restored or renewed. That they have a fresh infusion of inspiration. And that that love, because love never fails. If you walk in love, right. I mean, if right now I said, I have a super product for $19.99 and you will never fail if you use it. Everyone would run right out and buy it, right? Oh, wow, I'll never fail, never. And love never
right.
fails. And what I want to remind people of, the medicine in this book, is just that the Creator loves you. You know, love is my superpower. And
yes.
love is Creator's first language. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. That's what everything in nature is saying to us. That's what everything in our ceremonies and songs and dances is saying to us. It's simply saying that we have a faithful Creator who loves us. Loves us. And if you know that you're loved, if you truly have a revelation of God's love for you, I believe you do have hope. And that's the medicine I hope that reading this book brings to people.
That is a great way to tie that together, because that goes hand in hand, and that makes perfect sense, what you just said. And I believe it. I do. The truth always sounds different,
mm-hmm.
you know? Mm-hmm. Yes. So you've written songs, and you've written books. Is the process the same to you, or do you take different approaches?
Well, humility comes before honor, and this is the point where I have to admit that so often it's not about me. For example, many of my songs came to me in my dreams. I woke up singing them, or I knew exactly how they should sound or how they should go. And then I have these wonderful collaborators among my friends and family who jumped on the tracks with the beats and the songs and the flutes and the drums and the raps and all the things that made it really wonderful. But most of my poetry also comes fully formed. For example, I'll dream about a piece of paper and it's all written down. The poem is written down. All I have to do is get up and transcribe it. Sometimes it'll just start coming. The lines will just start coming into my spirit, and I just take dictation. And uh-huh. I'm amazed by that. It really is an honor, and it keeps me so humble because I know that this is something then that the Creator wants to go out into the world. Like,
yes.
God is putting it in my spirit. The Holy Spirit has given it to me so that I can then make sure that whoever needs to hear this music or hear this poem or even a story is able to have it in their lives. And I'm so honored that the Holy Spirit trusts me. I'm so honored that somehow He believes that I can put these words down and that they will go like medicine wherever they're needed. And I'm very grateful for that. So my process is honestly prayer. Prayer, ceremony, worship, thanksgiving and gratitude and praise. And then these things rise up out of my spirit. And then I give them to the world.
That is beautiful. It really is. That is, I think that there is real power in that. And I think there's also a lot of strength in that, knowing that you can, you know, if you're open to the experience, you know, if your head and heart are right, you know, and your mind is good, you know, Creator can use you as a conduit for such sacred words, or sometimes sacred music.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very beautiful. Yeah. So what was an early experience where you learned that language had power?
Wow.
You know, I've heard people talk about the spelling, you know, the word spelling,
yes.
You know, comes that's from right. a time when people knew that words had power and they could cast a spell over someone. So, you know, words have power. Language has power. And so how about your experience?
I could read by the time I was two. And I can't remember a time when I couldn't read. You know, and I could really read. Like, my family would hand me a book. The first book I ever picked up, I was 2 years old, and I picked up a Bible and started reading it. And they realized that I was recognizing words and that I was right about them. And I think that was when I realized that there was a whole world in words, that words could bring you closer to what you want and put you farther away from what you didn't want. And my first poem that I wrote that was published, I was 4 years old. And at 9 years old is my first poem that I'm published and paid for. And it's in a journal right next to adult writers. And I think so I think words were always a gift. And then put them together with music. The first time I ever sing in front of a crowd that pays to buy tickets to be there, I sing as part of an event, and I'm 4.5 years old. And they handed me the mic, and I sang a solo number, and everyone applauded. And after the program was over, from then on, I sang. And words and music together were when I realized that people's lives could change, that people who were very sad could be uplifted simply by singing a song in church, that people who didn't know what to do could find answers to questions and solutions to problems and feel closer to the Creator in ceremony. And so I think for me, that was the first real understanding that words had power, whether they were spoken or written or sung. I realized that I was a person of words. And I think about that a great deal because I believe there's many, many ways to be brilliant. And we don't even begin to recognize and measure most of them. You know, we kind of go with standardized tests and grades and things like that, but to decide who's gifted. But in Indigenous communities, spiritual gifts are gifts too. And I realized that as a small child, I could shift the atmosphere. Walk into a room where everybody was broken and distressed and hurting, and speak to them a word that gave them life, or sing to them a song that raised their spirits. And then language became my connection to the gifts and talents that Creator had placed in me to serve other people.
That's amazing. What a great response. I love hearing that. That's a wonderful, wonderful response. Yes, and powerful. So In continuing on that line of thought, so I would say you view writing as a sort of spiritual practice. Is that, would you agree or no?
I completely agree. You're so right. I do. And I understand that there's all kinds of writing. I do. And I respect that. You know, so I'm not privileging my writing, which is mostly literary fiction and poetry, over someone who writes, you know, the manuals and the tech or journalism or any of that. I'm simply saying that for me, it is absolutely a spiritual discipline, that it is just as much a faith activity as prayer or singing, you know, church hymns or anything else that we come to think of. And in indigenous cultures, we don't separate the sacred from the secular. We don't take it apart. And that's why people notice in my novels that God is a character. He shows up. People ask him to do things, and he intervenes. You know, my own life is miracle dependent. You know, like I pray. I don't pray just to have a conversation. I pray, and I expect gas money to show up. You know, I pray, and I expect to get healed and, you know, leave the hospital. And I prayed and asked for a son. And I am a mother of nations. And so for me, writing and even writing music, I can't read music. That's why it's so divine that I can even have these songs that I've composed and my CDs, The Desire of Nations, which won the Native American Music Award and the Global Music Award, and then The Stars of Heaven, which won a Global Music Award and was nominated for an Indigenous Music Award. It's amazing to me because I can't even read music. I can't read notes or play an instrument. My voice is my instrument. And so when I think of creating music, writing, creative writing, I see it as my time with God. I see it as just as much a spiritual practice as if I sat out in the garden and meditated for an hour.
Mm. Yeah, it's beautiful. Beautiful. That's a beautiful experience. It's a beautiful way to look at the whole situation, I believe. But that's you. You walk in beauty wherever you go.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Does writing energize or exhaust you? This is a question that I thought of to ask because I was thinking that, you know, because I write. You know, I write different things, and I've written lyrics before. I've helped people with their lyrics and songs and such, and I've written lyrics myself. And then, of course, I've written more secular things like, you know, features and publications and such. You know, and for me, there's a little bit of a difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought to ask you, what do you think?
That's a really great question. That's a really terrific question.
Does writing energize you or does it exhaust you?
I mean, so you have to ask me that at different times of day. You know, you have to ask. Context matters, I think. For example, I recently won the social justice poetry competition when I sat down and the news showed this gentleman, George Floyd, being executed, literally, by a policeman. And I didn't know what to do with that. And so I grabbed, thank God for napkins, I grabbed a napkin and literally wrote a poem about the poisonous things we forgive, that as people of color, we're constantly being asked to forgive, and yet it keeps getting worse.
Right.
And after I wrote that poem, I was completely exhausted. But, you know, other people, it resonated with other people, and it was given this award because people understood what it was. And yet, the poems that actually are in Mother of Nations, they did energize me. And I think that's because they came directly from the heart of something good. God is love. He doesn't have any evil or racism or negativity or abuse or mistreat. He doesn't have anything bad in him. And so those poems that I get directly from the creator, or those pieces or songs I get directly from the creator, I think they energize me. And the ones that come from perhaps circumstances or the environment, it might be a little more exhausting depending on what's going on.
Okay, so we have similar experiences then,
yeah.
Because I know for myself, if I write, you know, like you spoke about George Floyd, you know, if I should ever write on something heavy like that, I feel so drained after finishing it, and I just have to, you know, get lost, you know, just go for a ride on the mountainside, or go sit outside by the trees, or just, you know, do something to settle, you know, myself. But then there are other things that that I write that just energize me, and I just I'm all very excited about writing it. And then after, when I'm finished, I'm like, yeah, but I want to write more. I'm feeling so good about this, you know. So, yeah, I thought to ask you that and see what your take on it was.
I think sometimes that's how we know that it's the divine, right?
Right.
I mean, when the creator really comes to ceremony, for example. You can tell. You can really tell. You can tell when it's a great church service. You know, you could tell when it's not just people going through the motions, but it's genuine faith is being released in a place. And I think that works with writing as well. I know when I receive a revelation, I know when something's coming to me from the heart of God. And, you know, it's not like I hear audible voices or anything, but I know when it's divinely inspired. And it does feel different, and it does feel hopeful. And sometimes even the tough subjects, you know, so there are poems that I have been given, you know, that were difficult subjects. But they came wrapped in love. I'm going to write about this to help people. I'm going to write about this as medicine. I'm going to write about this as encouragement. And I have a song that has been immensely popular, and I think it's because of all these fantastic rappers on there. Pen Smoke and Endon and Lito and White Bread are on it with me, and they really make it awesome. But it's called What the Heart Wants.
Right.
And basically the refrain is, all we ever wanted, you're all we ever wanted, and all we ever wanted is what we ask you for. And that song came to me after a grueling period in my life. I had been very sick. I had died and come back from the dead. And, I had a brutal time. And I went to the doctor, and he said, well, you know what? We've reached kind of the end of what we can do here. We don't know what's wrong with you. It doesn't look like we're going to find it. And nobody else will either. And we think you should begin to reconcile yourself to the fact that you may not live much longer. And everybody rode back from the hospital in silence. Everybody just went to bed. Like, all over the house, people just went to their own room and went to bed. And I sat there, and I said, wow, you know, I prayed and I asked God, please don't let me fall out with you about this. Please don't let me be angry with you about this, because you're the only one that can help me. And I really want to live. I want to be a mother. I want to have a happy, blessed life. But either way, Lord, I love you. And you're always all right with me. And as I sat there, that song came to me. All we ever wanted, you're all we ever wanted. All we ever wanted, we're asking for you now. Put your wisdom in our mouths, your life, into our souls, and listen as we're crying out, and hear, and make us whole. And I had the tune, I had the words, and I just recorded myself singing it. Like, I just recorded it, and I shared it with my cousin Pen Smoke and my cousin Endon, and they were like, girl, you got something. We're putting a beat up under this, and we're gonna make this a song. Well, we all worked together and made this beautiful song, and I thought about the old warriors who would choose their death song. They would actually make a death song, and they would sing it in battle.
Right.
But that's not what it was. Over the next couple of weeks, in a way that nobody could explain, even the doctor who gave me a death sentence, I got better and better and stronger. and better, and better some more. And here we are, a decade later, almost exactly, and everything is wonderful.
That is a beautiful story. Beautiful story. I'm so glad you shared that.
Thank you. I'm glad it worked. I'm just glad it worked.
Yes. And so am I. So am I. Yes, we all are. Yes. The world would be a very empty place without you here. Because you are, I've said it for years, you are like a lighthouse, you know, in this new dark age. You know, you've always been such a source of positivity, you know, even when things have been bad, you know, you're still upbeat. And I've always been just in awe of people who can be that way. You know, but it's also been an inspiration to me. And that's one of the ways that you've inspired me, is that is to be more like you that way. And because it's such a great way to be. Yeah. So what's the most difficult part of your artistic process? What would you say that might be?
Well, I want to say thank you for those good words you just gave me. And I really want to remind everyone, though, that faith is a gift. It's a spiritual gift. It's something, you know, I can't just say, oh, I have a great attitude all the time. It really is. It's a spiritual gift that the Creator has placed in me. God has truly given me a gift of believing that love never fails. And so even if it looks like I'm failing right now, even if it looks absolutely heartbreaking and terrible, that's all right. God loves me, and He will never fail. And so that brings me to the most difficult part of my process, is sometimes real life. In order to have something to write about, you've got to have something to write about. So some of the things that I have had to go through and some of the things I have had to live through have been, well, you know, wow. They have been, my goodness. And the only way to really redeem them is to make them into medicine for someone else. You know, I know that everyone in life has trials and tribulations and goes through suffering or difficulties. And I think the only way to redeem that time and redeem that suffering is somehow to take it and make it into medicine for someone else who is suffering. Now, I'm not trying to have a lot of suffering, just so, you know, let's let God know, you know, not inviting any suffering. But what I mean is that when things happen, we can take them and we can be bitter about them, or we can get better and help other people to be better. And I think that's the mercy. But the most difficult part of my writing process is sometimes living through the situation, living through the event. Even when we talk about, a lot of my writing is about things that have happened to our ancestors in indigenous communities. And even that is historical grief and trauma, you know. And I have to take that and find the redemption in it. Otherwise, it's just poverty porn. Otherwise, it's just, you know, oh, here's another sad story. You have to find where is the redemption. And there are some things that you live through that it takes a minute to do that. You know, there are some things that will break your heart, and you'll be sitting there thinking, well, what will I do with this? And that is really where the power of prayer comes in. That's where the power of prayer comes in, to actually take this and make God a co-creator. You know, like He is the creator, but actually say, you know, here is this pain. I give it to you. Please make something beautiful and helpful and worthwhile out of it. Otherwise, you're just wallowing. So that would be the most difficult part of my creative process, is just that sometimes you have to go through, you know. And my granddaddy used to say, if you're going through hell, don't stop and make pancakes. Keep going. And so, you know, sometimes in the arts, we have to remember that our goal is to make art that releases this pain, that heals you know, that we don't just wallow in, you know, here's our tragic story and here is this awful event or here is this. We have to somehow find the redemption in it. And that is what heals us, but also allows our art then to heal other people. We're going to commercial. This is so wonderful. Dwayne Brayboy, oh, we love you so much. We're going to commercial, but when we come back, Dwayne Brayboy will still be here being brilliant and wonderful as always. Oh, and I'll be here too with my new book, yeah. Mother of Nations. We'll be right back.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had an oil shortage. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs supposed to hear it. So who hear the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com, click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair? Or...
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
We are strong, and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit WeAreBroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Good.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave.
I am so thankful to be here today with Dwayne Brayboy. Oh, he is hosting this show. I'm the guest. He's our special guest host today. And we're talking about my new book, Mother of Nations, which you can get from Amazon.com and UtteredChaos.org. It is just a true blessing to my life, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm handing you the mic once again.
Okay. So how long did it take you to write Mother of Nations? Is this an anthology, a collection of poems that you've written over a long span of time, or did you just set out and write it all in consecutive time?
I think it's some of everything. These are some brand new poems that had to do with how I was feeling, and I wanted to give my future children glimpses into our family, into our culture, into our traditions, into our beliefs, our theology and cosmology. And then there were a few other poems that I thought, oh, these are lovely, because I think folks should probably know I have two novels out, The Way We Make Sense and The Marriage of Saints, which is part of the American Indian Studies series at the University of Oklahoma. And in my process, those novels do have actual fiction, you know, but they have a lot of poems that give you insight into the characters or into their feelings and thoughts and all of that. So there are poems in there from my previous work along the way, but lots and lots of brand new poems because I wanted to focus on the miracle of motherhood.
Okay, great. That is wonderful. And, you know, I was just thinking about something you had said before the break about I guess it's just your artistic process.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that there's so much truth in that, that I believe that it helps people to identify with other people's emotions. I think that, for example, like when we talk about the heavy things that we write about sometimes, you know, I think that people need that to kind of get through what they're living through currently, you know, and it could be something as simple as some heartbreak song or breakup song or something like that. I don't know, that might be on the radio, popular or something like that. But I think that people identify with these things because we've all lived through lots of these emotions and these things in life. And so I think that is where something that your work also does contribute to. You know, I know that I've listened to your music and I've read your words, and you know, it's almost as if you're right there with me in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's always been the telltale sign of an effective writer or artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I will see or listen to songs, or I hear a song, I should say, and you know, maybe read something and just feel nothing.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
But but then whenever I can tell that somebody has really put their heart and soul into something, you know, you can tell. I mean, even for example, like genres of music that I don't particularly listen to.
Right.
You know, good music is still good music.
That's right.
And so I can hear that and identify. And but yes, you are oftentimes here with me whenever I listen to your music or read your words. I just thought I would share that.
I love that. Thank you so much. That's the point. That's really the point, is that love, that wonderful love. I want it to surround people as they listen. I want it to be right there with them while they read. And I'm so grateful that you shared that with me. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So, along those lines, when do you find yourself in a more productive frame of mind, or a frame of mind that's conducive to writing at different times, maybe different times of the day or different times of the week or of the year? Are you more a more prolific writer in certain seasons? I know I am. Fall is my time of the year, so that's oftentimes whenever I get inspired, and I will be write a lot. How about you?
I love fall. Fall is my favorite season. It really is. And
same.
I could see that. I can completely see that. I think, though, honestly, when I was getting my MFA in creative writing, one of the things they said is, you should set an alarm clock, and you should go to your writing space every day, and you should write for an hour, and you should do it again in the evening, and you should write. That's what you should do. And I tried to do that. I really did. And I fell asleep. I texted my friends. And I wish that I could be one of those wonderful business writers, that could do that. Like, I'm going to sit down every day and work on my novel for 2 hours a day. But it never worked for me like that. For example, I had been on a long fast, and with our stomp ground and praying and fasting, and I started having dreams, and I wrote my novel, The Marriage of Saints, in less than a month. I just had it. It was just right there. Just take dictation. Just write it down. There it is. Get it. And then it was like, I didn't write anything else for another month. So I wish that I was one of those people that set the alarm clock and did what you're supposed to do, I guess. But I think seasonally, it has to do with my heart. Where am I? What lens am I looking through? For example, when I was carrying my son, I wrote a lot of poetry. And many of the poems appear in Mother of Nations. But I would have dreams and visions about him. I had visions about his relatives on his other side. And I would write poems, and it's amazing that they would just come. They would just come. Like, I'd have a dream, and there would be a poem. But I realized that I was starting to see it from his point of view. Like, before, I wrote about my own tribes and nations. And then when I was carrying him, I started writing about his. And people were like, this is right on. And so I realized something spiritual was happening. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
It really was. And I would love to share one of those poems with you. It's called Canoe Journey.
Please, I was going to ask you if you would read one of your poems for us. And I'm glad that you arrived there first. I'm all ears.
One of the pregnancy poems. And it came to me in a beautiful dream. It was written down, and I had a dream that I was by the ocean, and it just was a beautiful sort of scroll that I plucked out of the water and opened it, and this poem was written on it, and I wrote it down when I woke up as quickly as I could remember it. Canoe journey. Ancestors go down to the sea in ships, seeking sea glass shards of hearts, settled in streams of starlight and gold, navigating by maps etched deep in the soul. Descendants row canoes under the sun, count the waves until there are none, arriving at plenty when the voyage is done, realize home is wherever life has begun. Legacies dance by the light of the moon, the haka, the hula, the fire dance too. As they finish, they give us you, the destination of all our journey. And I wrote that for my son while I was carrying him.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. Such so powerful. You know, I mean, I can feel the energy behind those words that you chose.
Thank you.
In that. Yes. Kind of like spelling we were talking about earlier.
Yeah,
words have power. And you choose the best words.
Yeah. Well, the creator does. I just write them down.
Right. Yeah. So then, canoe journey.
Yeah.
how have you written more postpartum in relation to prepartum?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think that I wrote lots and lots of things that I believe my son was inspiring during when I was expecting him. I think actually he was helping me to meet him and to understand him before he even got here. And I think it was a wonderful, beautiful experience. And then when I gave birth to him, that was my greatest creation. I was just so happy and wonderfully fulfilled, and I enjoyed being his mama, and I really didn't write anything because the desire of my heart was right there in my arms, you know? And so right. During that wonderful period, you know, the newborn phase and the infant phase, all of that, I focused all my attention on him. And then when he was about two, that's when I started writing poetry really again. Like, I started having dreams, and this was the dictation, and this was dropped into my heart and my spirit, and I would write it down, and people would like it and publish it. But really, that wonderful phase when Mother of Nations was being written, desiring a child, expecting a child, carrying a child, even delivering a child, all of that creative phase had one purpose, and that was to bring my son into the world. And once I did, I focused all my time and attention on him. And so, yes, I've started writing again. We both write for Whisper and Thunder magazine, and I have written for the Carolina Bards Association. They have a new anthology out, and other pieces like that. And I can see that it's almost as if these poems were all my prayers, and the answer was living and breathing in front of me. And I could hold him and hug him and kiss him. And all that creative energy went into him. And now, now I can take dictation a little bit again.
Yes. And again, a beautiful answer. And it really, you know, it struck me when you were talking about you felt that while you were pregnant with him, that you felt like he was getting you to know him.
Absolutely.
And and I think that that is, you know, that's just something that I guess, you know, of course, I've never experienced and never going to, but
right.
That I think is something that the life givers, the mothers, I think that is something so sacred that only they can experience. And I think that that, you know, is pure justification for the mother-child sacred bond, you
Absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely.
No real question on that. I just wanted to comment on that very, very powerful experience you shared.
Oh, it's beautiful. And
yeah.
Even now, as you just said that, I realize that even the poems that are coming to me now are coming while we take a nap. You know, they're coming while I'm holding him. They're coming while, you know, he's right next to me. And he's a great, wonderful conduit of divine energy. And I think motherhood is divine. It is sacred, absolutely. To be a life giver is the greatest honor of my life. And I have been blessed with many honors, and I appreciate them all. But this is the greatest honor of my life.
And you honor it so well.
Well, you do.
I'm not just saying it. I just don't say things.
Right.
You know, that are flattering to people or whatever. But you do. You honor motherhood so well. And it's, I think, to me, personally, it's so easy to trust somebody who honors something so sacred like you do.
That's beautiful.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, what do you like to do when you're not writing or making music, you know?
I love that question because I probably, the most wonderful thing I love doing is being a mother. I love it. Right. I just love it. I mean, and I know people have different ideas of what that means, too. But I love it. I love handing down the culture. I love homeschooling. I love all of it. I just love it. And I know this is going to sound strange to people, but even when I was changing diapers, I loved it because I saw it as the answer to my prayers. I get to do this. I prayed to do this. I prayed. I mean, you know, you prayed. Everybody else had to pray. You know, it was a group prayer project for me to get to do this. And so a lot of the things that people would complain about, I relished. I still relish. I love it. And so as part of that, I love all the experiences that are now new because of motherhood. We go for our walks. And we go on nature walks, and we look for things and see things, and I see things so differently now that I'm seeing them as a mother through the eyes of my child. I love to swim. I love to, I would say socialize. You know that. I mean, like, I love to socialize. I love to talk to my friends and family, even if we're not doing anything. I just love the people in my life. But the thing I like to do most is anything that I get to do as a mother. And I know, you know, like just simple things. We went on a trip to a farm. And I've been to a farm before. My grandparents raised food. I mean, you know, it was like, well, there's a cow. But seeing it with my toddler, who was so excited that it was a real cow, you know, and all of that. I mean, everything I do with him is fresh and new. So, you know, I've always done beadwork, for example, but the other day he and I did some beadwork together. He had giant beads on a giant string, and I had small beads on a small string, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is incredible. And I've always loved to sing and participate in our culture and our ceremonies and traditions and all of those things. And now he sings, and I'd rather hear him sing than me sing. You know, I love it. And so everything I do, everything, even the smallest thing, you know, we made some cookies together. I've baked cookies before, but baking them with him was so wonderful because he was so excited when the egg broke and something came out. And so what I love to do is live life, but I love to live it as a mother in addition to living it as a relative and a friend.
That is another beautiful answer. Yes. Yes. And I understand that. As you said all these things, I completely understand where you're coming from with all that. I think that I would see things very, very similarly if I were in your position. And, you know, and again, it's you honoring, you know, something that you've prayed for and something I've prayed for you.
Oh, yeah.
You
Thank
know?
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, No, go ahead.
Thank you for those prayers. Thank you for those prayers.
You're
I am so
most
grateful.
Most definitely welcome.
I just want to say that to you where everyone can hear it, that you prayed and this miracle manifested and you helped me all throughout. And I'm so grateful. Thank you for those prayers.
Oh, you're so welcome. So do you hear from your readership much? And, you know, if you do, yeah, other than me.
Yeah. My favorite reader, right?
You know, if you hear from your readership, you know, what sort of things do your followers and fans have to say about your writing?
I love everyone who supports what I do. I am so grateful. I am so thankful. Anybody that's ever done anything nice for me, you know, I've been reflecting on that because I have a birthday coming up this week, and I've been thinking about how many people it has taken to bless me and give me this wonderful life that I enjoy, and I'm grateful to all of you. And my readers and the folks who listen to my music, I am so grateful for them. I mean, they nominate me for awards. They vote for me to win awards. They recommend me, you know, for opportunities and open doors. They become friends. A lot of folks who started out asking questions, you know, I've had people include my work in their master's thesis or their school paper or their you know, just whatever they needed to do at the time, essays for articles and things. And they become friends. They actually advocate for me, and they're a blessing to me. And I can't possibly think of how what I ever did to deserve that. I mean, I understand it's a gift. It's just a gift that people read my work and listen to the music and listen to this show and then somehow decide that they want to be part of my family. They want to be part of my friends. They want to somehow hire me or publish me or advocate for me or nominate me or choose me for an award. And I'm moved by that. I can't even tell you because they don't have to do that, but they do. And so, yes, I hear from my readers. I do, and I love to. But what's amazing is what I hear. You know, I put your name in for such and such an award, or I nominated you, or I spoke to so-and-so from such a magazine and asked them to interview you. I'm amazed at that, and I'm thankful for it. I'm always grateful for it, and I'm truly, truly thankful.
I agree, and I would feel similarly, and I know that you, I know how much it means to you.
Mm-hmm.
To have that kind of support. But you kind of, you're that kind of personality,
yeah.
That kind of soul that, mm-hmm. you know, you kind of inspire that mm. sort of support and loyalty. You really do.
I'm grateful.
I mean, I've always felt that way about you. Just, mm. you know, you were just somebody that I would want to be around all the time,
yes.
you know, or that I do want to be around all the time, you know. So I expect that these, you know, your readership that we're speaking of that become friends and such, I expect they've kind of arrived at the same place mm-hmm. as I have, you know, recognizing a really wonderful soul.
Mm.
And you have won so many awards. I mean, I was thinking about it the other day. That I can't keep track of how many awards you've actually won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there have been so many for your writing and mm-hmm. for your music.
I'm so thankful. I'm really thankful. I don't keep count on purpose because I never want to be puffed up about it. I never want to stop
okay.
the Christmas morning joy of it. Like, sometimes I just sit there and I think, hey, you know what? I won a Nammy for that. And I just feel happy all over again, you know? And so I never want to
yes.
take it for granted. I never want to say, oh, yes, that was award number 117. And, you know, I don't. I always want to keep that sparkle, and I always want to keep that joy. And even this visit with you is an honor to me, that you would take your time to share and to visit with us about this book. I am so grateful, and I'm so thankful that you would do that. And I know our time is ending, and so I would love to close out with one more poem from all our friends to enjoy from Mother of Nations. The Feet of the King, which was inspired when I was carrying my son, and I believe he gave me this poem.
Okay.
Dream in sweet grass, in sage, in stars. Dream cedar in baskets, woven and scarred with crimson dye and bloodroot lime. Dream of red paint and how we sing. How you were conceived as a holy thing, when seas and tigers combined in our veins, poured stains of rain into stomp dance flames, and birthed your heart in the desire of fire. Dreams of panthers mean you too, how Creator found us wanting you, above all men, to win our land, our love, our lives. We're celebrating my new book, Mother of Nations, which you can purchase at Amazon.com. or utteredchaos.org, the publisher website. Thank you so much, Dwayne Brayboy, beloved, wonderful, well-loved, and treasured Dwayne Brayboy, for being with us
Thank
today.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you for allowing me to be here. And your poems are beautiful.
What an honor. What a wonderful show. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait until we're together again. The next time. I love you. The Creator does too. And we'll see you then.
Yeah, oh, Lord, and your government saver. Let it believe it, get on your knees and pray all. Then pray all, and never look back once the world forgets.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.